Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Poetry Superhighway Live. It is the April 2018 edition of our show. Happy National Poetry Month. It is National Poetry Month here in the United States, and I'm going to go ahead and make it official that it's National Poetry Month everywhere in the world. So feel free to appreciate poetry wherever you are in the world this month. My name is Rick Lupert. I'm the MC of the show, and you're invited to call in. It's a call-in show. Want to hear your poetry? We've got an hour to hour for you to call in and read stuff. The number is 646-716-7362. As always, we have no content or style restrictions, and we invite you to call in and share your work and let us know what's going on in your poetry world as well. Maybe you've got a new book out. You want to tell us about a new project of any kind related to poetry, whether it's online, in print, or, I don't know, in the town that you live in. Tell us about it. Before we get to our callers, I wanted to let you know about a few things going on in Poetry Superhighway land. First of all, because it is National Poetry Month, we are publishing online on our website a poetry writing prompt every single day this month. It's the 15th. We've published the 15th one today, and you can find those prompts in two places. One is on our website, right there in the upper right-hand corner of the website. You'll see a link to the prompt for today posted. If you want to see all the prompts that we've posted also on the website under the special projects menu, poetry writing prompts, there is a submenu there for 2018 prompts. You can see everyone that we've published so far, and you'll be able to look at that list forever and ever. All those prompts are being posted one per day on our Facebook page. If you're not already a member of our Facebook group, I should say, not a page, a group, then join in because you're invited there as well to post poetry and news of your poetry things. And we're posting these prompts every single day, and we're inviting you, if you write a poem for a particular day, you can post that poem if you like as a comment to that prompt's posting in the Facebook group. Now, the group is an open group, so which means that the poem's going to be visible to everyone, not just in the group, but anyone who happens to come by. So some folks don't want to do that because if you're considering submitting poetry somewhere, sometimes certain publications consider posting online, even in Facebook groups, to be published, and they don't want to consider poems that have already been published. So keep that in mind. But post anyway, if you feel like it. We'd love to see your poems and know that you are participating maybe in the National Poetry Writing Month Poem a Day Writing Project, NAPO-RIMO. So there you go. I think that's everything. Oh, no, there's one more thing I need to tell you. We just published, Poetry Superhighway just published our 20th annual Yom HaShoah Holocaust Remembrance Day issue. This past Thursday, actually began Wednesday night in the lunar calendar, is Holocaust Remembrance Day, a day every year that people stop and people remember the events of the Holocaust, either commemorated in some way, maybe reading a primary source, reading some text from someone who actually survived it. Maybe you know someone who survived it. Maybe you've had the chance to see someone speak. Well, this year, as we've done for the previous 19 years, we are publishing lots and lots of poets. Every week, as you know, on Poetry Superhighway, we publish two poets every week as Poets of the Week. We change it up a bit on Yom HaShoah, on Holocaust Remembrance Day. And this year, we've actually published 71 poets from all over the world, all with poems, new poems that they've written that are responding to the events of the Holocaust. So check it out. I think it's really important that this happens. The main lesson for those of us who are thinking about the Holocaust is that it shouldn't happen again. And I just saw a report on National Public Radio that fewer and fewer people actually are aware of the events of the Holocaust, have ever heard the terms Auschwitz before or things like that, which in a way kind of makes sense because we're getting to the point where it's 70, 80 years ago that these events happened, and there are fewer and fewer people left alive who actually experienced them. So we can't let the knowledge of this event die. And so as long as I'm around and publishing Poetry Superhighway, every year I'm going to continue to publish this special issue, posting as many poets as I can. I'm all responding to the Holocaust. And I think you should check it out, and I think that you should do what you can so that way these events aren't forgotten for future generations as well. You can read all 71 poets on the Poetry Superhighway website. Just go to poetrysuperhighway.com, and it's the top posting for our special Yom HaShoah Holocaust Remembrance Day issue. Now, that's not per se the theme of today's show. It's an open reading with no content or style restrictions. Feel free to call in and read any poem that you want about any particular topic. If you happen to be one of the poets published in that issue and you're listening now, feel free to call in. I'd be more than happy to hear your poem from that issue or read about anything you want, whatever you want. All right. Again, the number to call in is 646-716-7362. We're going to get to our first caller now from the 240 area code. Hi.
Hello, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you? Who's this?
This is Teron McCray.
Hey, Teron, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Excuse me. I'm doing great.
Remind me where you're calling from?
Oh yes, I'm calling out the Fort Washington, Maryland area.
Fort Washington, Maryland. Okay.
Yeah.
And you you got a poem for us?
Yes. The book that I published, McCray on Display, this is a piece from my next book that I'm about to put out, which is entitled, Who is to Blame? They say it takes a whole village to raise a child. Where did they get the knowledge and the will to defile? Who is to blame? When we kill or be killed, we cannot restart our lives like video games. We can't say, God, I made it to level 7. Either the soul is going down into hell or straight up to heaven. Who is to blame for all these bodies in the graves? This is supposed to be, supposedly an age that is free of slaves. On that note, and I quote, I'm not referring to any particular color. We need to trace down these roots and become more of a help to one another. If it's not stemming from the people, then perhaps the laws that we create. Too much free will gives birth to disobedience and hate. To me, it's pretty bold to be told that a child cannot receive correction. Didn't they come from you? Isn't that the story? Seems like what the government say. They're not making a suggestion. The laws are mandatory. Who is to blame for the prayers to be taken out of school? Who is to blame for the worshiping of false idols, gods of another name, giving more power to material rule? Who is to blame for spiraling this world into lust? Who is to blame for these non-paid actors and actresses leading and guiding the world into dishonesty and mistrust? Who is to blame for our lack of compassion, all for the love of money? We can see a person hungry and lift not one finger to take much needed action. Who is to blame for the words? That's his or her problem, not my concern. Who is to blame for the truths that we all know of, but never seem to want to learn? And that again was Who is to Blame? And that's for my next book that I will be publishing soon. And if anybody want to contact me, they can reach me on Facebook. I have a whole lot of, I do Mother's Day forms, I do bringing cards at the wedding, funeral, graduation, anything special that you can think of, I'll get it done.
That's great. What's the name of your next book going to be?
The Face of Poetry.
The Face of Poetry. And when does it come out?
It will be coming out soon. I got all my material copy written. It's still in the process.
Right. Well, Taran, thank you so much for calling in today. Great to hear you again. I know you called in last month, so it's nice to hear your voice again. And I hope your new book gets out when you want it, and that it's a big success.
Thank you so much, and everybody have a blessed day. And thank you all for listening to me.
Thanks. All right. Take it easy, Taran. Call in again. That was Taran McCrae calling from Fort Washington, Maryland, a repeat offender here on Poetry Superhighway Live. Good to have repeat offenders, you know what I'm saying? In this context, I should say. The number for you to call in is 646-716-7362. Feel free to call in and share your work. I'd love to hear what you've got to say and know what's going on in your poetry world. Our next caller is from a blocked number. Hello, blocked number.
Hello, Rick. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, buddy.
This is Alex
Mother
from Sault Ste. Marie, yeah?
Sault Ste. Marie, buddy boy.
Sault Ste. Marie. Okay.
Mother
I'm
Nature
get it right
playing
someday.
A really... you'd think it's April Fool's Day today because we're getting another snowstorm. If you've been watching the Great Lakes right now, ice storms and all sorts of things hitting Toronto, Detroit. A lot of ball games getting postponed the last 2 days because of bad weather.
Huh. Well,
yeah.
You know, it is April, the month of jokes.
Absolutely, Rick. Absolutely.
Well, you have a poem in this week's Yom HaShoah Holocaust Remembrance Day issue as well. Is that correct? That's right.
I do, sir. I do.
Well, thank you for participating in this project this year.
Rick, it's always an honor to be involved in anything that you have to do with because you push the creative bounds of poetry out there from coast to coast to corner in the earth, and you should be applauded for that.
Well, thank you. I don't have a round of applause sound effect, otherwise I just click play to help satisfy your request there, but I appreciate the sentiment.
I hear you.
Sentiment.
I hear you. Rick, I have that one that I put in for the Holocaust, but I have one that's even more dear to my heart right now because about 2 weeks ago, I think all around the world, everybody's heard it because in Saskatchewan, there was a junior hockey team going on a bus and to a playoff game, and they were T-boned by transport. And to this point, out of 29 people on the bus, 16 people died.
Wow, that sounds horrible. I'm not familiar with the phrase T-boned. What does that mean?
It means that they were like speared right in the middle of the bus. The bus, Rick, it was ripped open like a tin can. The whole roof was taken off and all one side of the bus. It was such a violent, because they met at the cross section of two highways. One had the right of way with the bus going north-south, and the other one with the truck, it was going west, and I guess the truck did not stop.
Well, what a horrible tragedy. Sorry to hear about that.
Well, it was, and you know what, Rick? For all the families and that, they started one of those GoFundMe pages and stuff. And to this point, Rick, I think as of today in the last 2 weeks, for all those families, it's a Canadian record. It's over $11 million, Rick.
Wow.
And all different, you know, NHL teams from the Edmonton Oilers, from the Calgary Flames, the head coaches, they all attended. with the guys that were still alive in that, you know, like even the radio broadcaster, he died. The female athletic therapist 2 days ago, she died, you know, and it's just the head coach died, the bus driver died. It was just amazing. It was just, and they had such a touching thing. They had three kids, you know, like 17 or 18, the boys. They were all in their gurneys or whatever in this one room, and they were all just joining hands in a show of sign of strength. And it's all very, very, and the guy that was just on with you asking about compassion, well, compassion, my belief in the human spirit has been reinvigorated with this thing, because people, not only in Canada, Rick, but all over the United States, they've been sending money and they've been sending their best wishes and their condolences, but all over the world, Rick, all over the world. It's just been amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I wrote one in their memory, Rick.
Great. Let's hear it.
It's called Comforting Light, my friend. Here goes. There is no tomorrow, as yesterday is gone, along with those lives lost at 15 and counting. An accident that could have been prevented, tearing the heart from the mortal body. What's done is done. There's no going back. As what ifs play out, being at the wrong place at the absolute worst time. A moment to be frozen in memoriam, to be remembered for as long as we live. Phone calls no one ever wants to receive, but their smiling faces must endure in our memories as an everlasting tribute to the glory of each life, to their eternal shining sparkle. A void each one leaves, an indentation that will never be intended to be replaced or covered. For as raw as this initial unbearable shock is, it's of such a magnitude whose reverberation may, as the years pass, still even then set us in reverse. As this degree of catastrophe is a life-altering event, the sheer perception causes shivers of change. As this tragic collision ruptures the normal intervals, as this sequence is disrupted, can't act as if it didn't happen. Composure and calm, though being the objectives, remain far from sight, at least for the foreseeable future, until a sadness evolves into acceptance as a parting wish for those here so violently removed. May you all find peace within a warm and comforting light. The end.
Wow. Well, gosh, Alex, thanks for writing that. As always, you're hitting at the social conscious of things, and it's great to hear that poem, and I'm glad you had the chance to read it.
I really appreciate the opportunity, Rick, to get this out there, because I'm going to send this address when we're done here today, and I'll send it all over, and people can listen to it over and over and over again, because it gets archived, so you can go back and listen to it every day if you want.
Sure, yeah. Anything else going on in your poetry world, in your neck of the woods?
Just keep on going over the river into Sioux, Michigan, and reading at the library over there and things like that, Rick. They started up a group on this side of the river, but on the Canadian side, but in all honesty, Rick, I went to it once, and then I did not go back, because all they do, Rick, they said you can bring one or two samples of other people's writing from other books you want to talk about or read, but you can't bring your own writing. And to me, that's not, you know, freedom of speech, or it's not real poetry, because you go there to read what you've written and to express from your heart, your soul, your spirit, what is important to you and what's going on in life and what's going on in the world. You know what I mean?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it sounds like that this particular group isn't what you're looking for, but it's probably a valuable experience for those folks who want to discuss literature and writing of other people. There's nothing wrong with that as well, you know, and there's nothing wrong with people who want to start a group that does that. That doesn't mean that other groups shouldn't exist that allow people to share their own work and open readings and that kind of thing. And I'm sure in your town there's people who want to do that on your side of the river or and border. So, you know, it's just a matter of finding those people or maybe even seeing something
else. Oh, absolutely.
What they're doing, you know what I'm saying? It's if that's what
yeah.
their stated goal is, then there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it just didn't fit my mode of poetry, so.
Yeah.
But
that's
what's going on right now. That's pretty much all that's going on right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would just, you know, sometimes there's a response to events where there isn't an open reading. I've noticed that people won't go to it unless they have the chance to share their own work. And it reminds me a little, you know, there's the first thing that I would respond to that is, you know, well, as an artist, it's kind of your job to not only share your own work, but be exposed to other people's work, because other people's work informs your own work as well. It's not like if you like movies, for example, you don't show up to go see a movie and then get all mad because they don't let you show your film first. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's the same thing with readings. It's, you know, people sharing their work is a legitimate performance, and it doesn't mandate that event has an open reading that anyone can come. You know what I'm saying? So,
sure.
I just think if you're going to be true to yourself as an artist, you also have to be able to receive art, and sometimes go to events where that's all that's happening. So that's just my my general you know, soapbox statement about that idea.
I got you, buddy.
Cool.
It's really awesome that you put this together again this year, Rick, and I really appreciate you including my poem in the in that Holocaust, because it's really important, like you said, to keep the memory alive and out there. You know what I mean, Rick? Like, the Great War, which was the First World War, was supposed to be the war to end all wars, and yet we continue to fight and kill each other because we as humans have not risen above our need or whatever of aggression in this to kill each other, and it's just ridiculous. Maybe someday we'll reach a point of enlightenment and ascension, Rick, where we can be above and beyond the need for aggression, and we can live as John Lennon wished us all to live, within peace and love and light. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope to arrive at a time that is achieved as well.
Me too, my friend.
Well, Alex, always good to talk with you. Thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Take care and have a great day, my friend.
You too. That was Alex from Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, other side of the border. Yet finds himself on this side of the border reading poetry at events in Michigan as well. So he's an international poet in that sense, I guess. All right, the number for you to call in, ladies and gentlemen, is 646-716-7362. As always, it's an open reading, no content or style restrictions. We got about 35 minutes left in the show, plenty of time for you to call in and share your work, and we'd love for you to do it. We'd love for you to have the chance to share a poem, whether it's a brand new poem that you're excited about sharing with people, or a tried and true one that you want to expose to more people, and something that you know is really solid. We'd love to hear that. So definitely call in at area code 646-716-7362. You know, we have another project, which I don't mention. I keep forgetting to mention whenever I'm in poetry circles. Of course, the Poetry Superhighway is our main deal. But a couple of years ago, started a new project, a new haiku-based website called Haikuniverse, which is often mispronounced as Haiku Universe. But no, the intention here is Haikuniverse. Don't you think that's clever? I do. We publish a haiku or short or micro poem every single day on the website at haikuniverse.com, spelled just like you would think it is, H-A-I-K-U-N-I-V-E-R-S-E, haikuniverse.com. There's a submission form on there. You can submit as many times as you want. On Poetry Superhighway, as you may know from having perused our guidelines, once you're published during a particular calendar year, you're not allowed to submit again until the following calendar year. And with that, it'll allow as many different voices as possible. But with Haikuniverse, you can submit as often as you want. Now, that doesn't mean we try to spread out, of course, how often different people are published, but that doesn't mean that you can't submit 10 poems at once, or if you got published, to immediately submit again. So we publish a poem every single day right on the Haikuniverse website. It's posted on the Haikuniverse Facebook page as well, which is facebook.com/Haikuniverse. And get this, there's a daily email that goes out. If you want to receive the poem in your email every single day, it goes out about 11 a.m. Pacific time. I guess that's what, 2 o'clock p.m. East Coast time. And for the rest of you in different time zones, you'll have to do the time zone math yourself. But you could get that every single day in your inbox. One of the several daily poems that you could receive in your email box if you want. The Poetry Foundation does a poem a day that you can get, and there's always something cool in there. There's another micro poem haiku site that sends out a poem every single day called Tiny Words. That's something to check out as well. And they're all a little bit different. When we say haiku, we're pretty broad in how we define that. In fact, we don't define it so much. I mean, typically I'll publish something that's three lines. If it gets to be more than three lines, I start to get a little suspicious of it. It doesn't have to fit the classic Japanese definition of what a haiku is in terms of content. It doesn't necessarily have to include a natural image, that kind of thing. It doesn't have to be 5-7-5. It could be one line. It could be really anything you want. We'll definitely consider it as something that we would publish in our daily publishings on Haikuniverse at haikuniverse.com. So go to haikuniverse.com, see what the latest one is there. You can click on archive and see every single one that we've published previously. And then there's also a submit button in the main menu. There's a form there. The only thing I ask you to do is if you're going to submit more than one, you have to submit it them in separate forms. So it's only one poem per submission, but you can submit as many times as you want because there's just a process on the back end where when we publish poems, it's more difficult if we can't consider your other poems if you put multiple ones in a single post. So one poem per submission, and that's that. Check it all out at haikuniverse.com. All right, again, about a half an hour left in the show. The number to call in is 646-716-7362. Say that again, 646-716-7362. Next caller is another block number. Hello.
Hello, Rick. Michael in Birmingham.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Well, serendipity, because you mentioned Haikuniverse, and I want to, first of all, happy National Poetry Month, everyone. And it's serendipitous that you mentioned Haikuniverse because Tuesday the 17th, and I don't know the date on it. I think this might be the 10th annual. It's not too old, as old as, but it's International Haiku Day. International Haiku Day. And for those who write haiku, follow haiku, go to the haiku site, haikufoundation.org, and that'll have everything there. And also, I had a brainstorm. It might be too late to do this year, but I know that on the Haikuniverse website, on Halloween and Valentine's Day, you do a marathon, one every hour. Is it too late this year to maybe do that for this coming Tuesday the 17th?
It definitely is.
Okay.
But and you know, I have mixed feelings. I have mixed feelings about that. I appreciate that it's National Haiku Day, but you know, haiku in general is the theme of that website. So it's, you know, we're publishing we're of course publishing a haiku every day. So you know, it's already haiku themed, I guess is what I'm getting at. Whereas the special issues we do on Haikuniverse are, you know, are another theme that use haiku or short poetry as the unique theme of it. But it's a cool idea. I'm not sure it's right for us because we already publish haiku every day. But I like the way you're thinking, and keep throwing ideas this way, because I want to hear them, and I'm always looking for new cool things to do.
Well, you know, it's just serendipitous. As you were talking about Haikuniverse, I said, I hope my call is next because it will tie right in and, you know, voila. So, yeah, I know you do don't you do a haiku theme around Halloween and Valentine's?
Yes.
And are there any other special occasions other than those two?
No, those are the only two that we've done so far, you know, in terms of special issues where we've published one per day.
One per hour for the 24 hours.
One per hour, right.
Yeah, and those are really fun. But anyway, enough with that, since it's too late to do it this year, and maybe we can focus on it next year. I'll try to get back in advance with you before next April 17th of 2019. And, of course, it's your call what you decide to do. Maybe have it themed, you know. But anyway, I'm in. Did you want to mention about the issue, the Holocaust issue?
I spent quite a bit of time talking about it at the beginning of the show.
I was meaning in reference to I'm a contributor again this year. I think maybe, not that I sat down and counted, but I think, as it turns out, this might be the fifth issue consecutively. I've been in like maybe more than half of them. I've contributed more than about half of them. And I really have enjoyed it. And, you know, I don't sit down with, oh, I've got to do a poem for this. Something just has to naturally, spontaneous occur to me. So I'm not going to read the one that's there because people can read it. But may I say a few words about it in lieu of a poem?
Sure.
Because I enjoyed the process. You may see from the title a picture of Hitler as a sad old lad. You might hear the reverberations of the Oscar Wilde picture of Dorian Gray.
Yeah.
And by the way, it is pictures, not portrait, because I never will forget someone answered on Jeopardy! Portrait, and they didn't get credit for it because it's not portrait, it's picture. And I guess we could go into the fine-tuning and nuances between picture and portrait. But also, Oscar Wilde's picture of Dorian Gray is inspired by Edgar Allan Poe's The Oval Portrait, which is a piece of flash fiction by Edgar Allan Poe. Some years ago, it occurred to me that the first three letters of sadistic were S-A-D, sad. And I thought, you know, all my life I've never noticed that. It's no great observation, but it was significant to me. I said, there must be some relationship between sad and sadistic. Well, that came together when writing this poem. I don't usually write rhyme poetry too much, but this was an occasion for it. And to call him a sad old lad, you know, lad is a young person, but I don't know how many people know that his vengeance that he had towards the Jewish community was he was rejected from an art school when he was young that Jewish people were being admitted to, and he never got over it. Which brings us to William Blake. Blake has a poem about, I didn't communicate my anger or try to make peace with my anger with my neighbor, and it grew into something monstrous, and voila. So that's the genesis and the process of that poem. Okay, well, I just said I spoke about the poem instead of reading it because people can read it there online. Thanks for letting me contribute a poem to this 20th anniversary issue. And I find that... the violins, I need to mention this in conjunction with what we're talking about. This week in Birmingham, I'm sure you've heard of the Violins of Hope.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, well, then if you need to look at Violins of Hope, they were in Birmingham this week, because there are violins that were that have resurfaced and that were played by Jewish people who, and then they were taken from them, confiscated, lost because of the, you know, the Holocaust, and they've been revived and refurbished, and they've been traveling around, and they were in town this week. And one of the events I went to, the opening event, Wednesday night, in conjunction with the Holocaust Holocaust Remembrance, was at the 16th Street Baptist Church, which is showing my age now, but I was about 9 or 10 when it happened. That was the church in Birmingham that got bombed on a Sunday morning, and four girls who were lost their lives in it. Well, they, you know, I don't believe anyone loses their lives. I even hate phrasing it that way, but their temporal life came to an end as a result of that bombing. And that's, so a lot's transpired since then, fortunately, in regards to civil rights, that same church that was mentioned. But also, in case, and maybe I have forgotten about it, but this was just really horrible. I did not know that as people arrived to the concentration camps, there would be an orchestra playing as though it was a, as though it was a welcoming, you know, and as people were being executed, going, being moved over to, moved to where they were going to be at, there would be an orchestra playing. And did you know about that? Have you heard about that?
You know, I didn't actually know about that particular thing. I know a lot of deception was used. You know, no one was told, oh, we're taking you off to the to be executed now. So that doesn't surprise me, but I didn't know that particular detail.
I think maybe if I ever knew about it, I'd forgotten about it. But see, I think that's so horrible because I love music, and music is supposed to be soothing and redemption. And that was the theme of this, the Henry Pangan, who's a Grammy Award winner, and winner, and who is at, in the music department at the University of Alabama in Birmingham, as I understand it. Don't quote me on this, but you can go to the website. You can probably even download a recording of the event that night. And it reminded me of the U2 song, A Crowd Has Gathered, Black and White. You know, this wouldn't have happened 50 years ago. This, we've come a long way. And it was just, you ever been in an experience and it's like there's nowhere else on the face of the earth at that place and time that you needed to be except exactly where you were? I mean, that just, I said, if I didn't want to be in Paris that night or New York, right there, then and there at that spot is exactly where I needed to be at that time. That just always feels like so right. Okay, but so this night was a redemption against that scenario. That's, I think that's why it was mentioned, that the music actually redeemed and brought people together. All right, you probably have other callers. And again, happy National Poetry Month, everyone. And I'll hope to talk to you next month. When is the date for next month's show?
You know, we're actually, just because of my schedule's a little crazy next month on Sundays, our next show is going to be on June 10th.
Oh, there won't be a May show.
Right.
Okay, then I'll leave you with Miss You in May. See you in June.
Sounds good. All right, Michael, thank you for calling in, as always, and talk to you again. Michael has already hung up. That's how efficient he is. I don't even need to click the hang up button. So it sounds so cruel, the hang up button, doesn't it? All right, the number for you to call in, ladies and gentlemen, is area code 646-716-7362. We got about 20 minutes left in the show and some open lines, so you are welcome to call in and share your poetry. That was Michael in Birmingham, Alabama. Our next caller is from, let's see, the 562 area code. Hello.
Hi. Happy Poetry Month, National Poetry Month.
Thank you. You too.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. I'm. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Jackie Chow.
Hi, Jackie Chow,
and I decided to call because yesterday I was at a poetry workshop led by Don Kingfisher Campbell and Carl Stillwell. And Carl had us do an exercise writing a step-down poem, and he said that he got the idea from Poetry Superhighway, Is that really from Poetry Superhighway?
It's a real live website. Is that what you're asking?
It's called a Step Down Poem. And the person who led the workshop said he got the idea from you, from Poetry Superhighway.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna read the poem that I wrote as a response to his prompt of writing a step down poem. Mom drew eyes. Mom drew eyes, nose. Mom drew eyes, nose, lips. Mom drew eyes, nose, lips, and hair. Mom drew eyes, nose, lips, and hair of. Mom drew eyes, nose, lips, and hair of homemade. Mom drew eyes, nose, lips, and hair of homemade paper. Mom drew eyes, nose, lips, and hair of homemade paper dolls. That was a poem that I wrote. I don't know how it sounds when it's being read, but it's supposed to be read from the paper. I mean, it's a visual poem or a concrete poem, right?
Right. You can kind of hear that with the repeated lines. Can you describe for us how you write a step down poem?
How to write a step down poem? Okay. It says here, begin your poem with a one-word line, add a word to that word for the second line, add a word to those two words for the third line, keep on adding a word to each line until you finish your descent down the stairs.
So in the end, what ends up happening is you get a poem which looks like stairs on the page. It looks like you can physically step down it, per se. And I'm trying to remember, I'm going to go to the website right now, because as you may have heard or you may know, we're publishing a poetry writing prompt every day on Poetry Superhighway. And that was one that was submitted, and I guess that's where Carl, you're the person who led the workshop that you were at yesterday. I guess that's where he got it from.
Oh, okay. So can I still enter that poem for that prompt, or you already have enough poems?
Well, it's not a contest. It's we're publishing a poetry writing prompt every day with the idea that that to give people ideas of poems that they can write, because as you may know, during National Poetry Month, sometimes people take up the challenge of writing a new poem every day, and so we do publish poetry every week on Poetry Superhighway, and you're more than welcome to submit work to it. But one of the special things we're doing this month is we're providing poetry writing ideas in much the same way that you went to the workshop to receive some poetry writing ideas. We're doing that online. What you can do is we are actually we posted that prompt on our Facebook page, and actually I'm looking, it was Carl Stillwell who actually sent us that prompt. So I'm confused in that you're saying he got the idea from us when he's the one who submitted that idea.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
but I will check out the prompts.
Okay, yeah, because on the Facebook page, we invite people to, if they write a poem from that prompt, we invite people to then post their poem as a comment to the prompt on the Facebook page. So that was published on April 3rd, Carl's writing prompt. And it's just, as you said, a step-down poem. Begin a poem with a word, add a word to it, the second line, a third word, the third line, etc., till you've descended down the stairs. So, yeah, that's already posted on the Facebook page, and you're more than welcome to add your poem as a comment there if you'd like.
Okay, great. I will go ahead and do that. Thank you so much, Rick.
Thank you, Jackie. Thanks so much for calling in and reading your poem to us.
Okay, no problem.
All righty. That was Jackie calling from, well, I'm going to assume that's the San Gabriel Valley, Pasadena area, which is where Don Campbell and Carl Stillwell were doing their workshop yesterday. And based on her number, that's where that comes from. Like I said, we're publishing a poetry writing prompt every single day for National Poetry Month. And we'd love for you the main purpose, again, is just to give you ideas of something to write, to take up a challenge, which many people do during National Poetry Writing Month, of writing a poem every single day. And here's 30 ideas, one for every single day of the month, that you could consider writing if you wanted to. To write a poem every single day, you don't need to have a writing prompt, but sometimes, you know, we struggle about what it is to write. You know, some people write differently. You know, I get asked all the time, do you set aside time to write, and et cetera? Well, I used to. I used to go sit in a coffee house every single night and just write whatever came to me. But life got a little bit busy, and I don't quite have that time to sit down every single night and write. So what I have to do these days, if an idea for a poem comes to me, then I will make a point of making time as soon as possible, if not immediately, to write that poem down, just to make sure it's not lost. But otherwise, I'm not sitting around writing all the time, just because that's how my schedule works. But I know if I did take up this challenge of writing a poem every single day this month, that I'd need an idea, and that idea can either come from my head, or it can come from someone else's head. And so we're providing you a bunch of ideas from someone else's heads, several other people's heads. Each person only has one head. Let me just clarify that. There you go. The number, by the way, to call in is area code 646-716-7362. We've got about 11 minutes left in the show. You're invited to call in and read your poetry and let us know what's going on in your poetry world. I'm going to read a poem now. I just got a copy of Derek Brown's new book called Hello, It Doesn't Matter. It's a new book on Right Bloody Publishing, which I've been reading through. It's a really cool book. I recommend that you check it out. It may still be the featured poetry book of the week in the Poetry Superhighway bookstore. And this is the first poem in the book. It's called The First Skinny Dip. Are you sure, Joe? Before she answered, her sleek body vanished into the night waters of Key West. Her body, a summer lux, unfair, dragging ivory piano moonlight into the sea with her. Careful, Joe. I see lightning bursting about a mile to the horizon. She laughed and swam farther out, away from the back deck of the old Chris Craft, watching me become smaller. I'd missed the sway and rock of my former little ship, the C-section, the best August sway and noon naps of my life, the worst damp winters of my life. Hours earlier, we roared the super chief through the hot Florida rain until the island keys ended, and we arrived at our dumpy but sturdy little ship rental to sleep on for the night. This is a bad idea. Storms closing in. Electricity and water. It's so dumb to. Joe's blonde hair, salt slicked back, just her eyes exhorting. I took off my shirt, standing in swim trunks, embarrassed of my tour body, my hands octopusing around the ashamed drink tickets of my gut. What's the jellyfish situation? Aren't you freezing? Do you want your bottoms? I've never done this before. Joe laughed. You've never skinny dipped? You gotta just jump in. Live a little. There's no one out here. I hate being naked. Come on, you look fine. I was glad she didn't say amazing. My trunks slink to the deck, I counted to three and jumped stiff, legs out, paratrooper style. The water a sloshing chalkboard, the night cracking. She came to me, life vesting around my shoulders. See? Not so bad. Feels kind of good. I'm worried a fish is going to swim up my ass. A little dirty fish. I'm worried we're going to get fried by lightning. Tell me, Joe, how do you not care? I used to be a scared person, then bad stuff. Maybe because I've been through so much bad. I think you are either free after tons of bad or you are living pre-bad and have no idea of the bad that awaits you. I'm French pressing the shit out of every good drop of the rest of that life, of this life. The night air was nothing. She hummed me and sank. The lightning flat bulbing in the distance. Well, there you go. That's the that's Derek Brown's poem, The First Skinny Dip. It's the first poem in his book, Hello, It Doesn't Matter, which is a new book on Wright Bloody Publishing, which you can check out at WrightBloody.com. The book is available on Amazon. Really enjoying my read through this book. If you ever get the chance to see Derek Brown read, I recommend it highly. It's a good time. And check out his books as well. All right, the number to call in is 646-716-7362. We missed the spoken word track section of the show today. I usually play a spoken word track at about a half hour mark, but I think I'm going to do that right now. Here's a poem called The Beginning from Rachel Kahn. Rachel Kahn's track, The Beginning, which she submitted a few weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago. That was a while ago. It is from, the poem itself is from a book I edited called A Poet's Siddur, Friday Evening. It's a book where poets from all over the world reinterpreted through poetry the text of the traditional Jewish Friday night liturgy. You can pick it up on Amazon, apoetsydoor.com, meant to be kind of a companion or a set of alternative texts for Friday night services, if you kind of swing that way. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we are just about out of time here. I want to thank the folks who called in and read poems today. I want to thank Teron McCray from Fort Washington, Maryland, for calling in and opening up the show. I want to thank Alex from Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, for calling in, as he does almost every month, and sharing work with us. I want to thank Michael from Birmingham, Alabama, for his talk today and thoughts and poetry as well. Both Alex and Michael have poems in the Holocaust poetry issue, which just went up on Poetry Superhighway Live. 71 poets from all over the world reinterpreting the traditional, or not reinterpreting anything, that's the other project, responding to the events of the Holocaust through their poetry. You can check that out on our website right now, poetrysuperhighway.com. And I want to thank Jackie Chu, or Chow, from Pasadena, California, for reading her step-down poem, which was written after a prompt that Carl Stillwell submitted to our Prompt a Day project that we're running right now every day for all of National Poetry Month, giving you ideas of something to write for, giving you a challenge to write a poem every single day, and giving you an idea of something to write for. As I mentioned earlier, our next show is going to be on Sunday, June 10th. We're skipping May. It's a bit of a busy month for me in May in terms of travel and that kind of thing, so I'm not going to be able to do a show in May. We don't usually skip months, so sorry about that, but we'll be back on June 10th with the next edition of Poetry Superhighway Live. It'll be an open reading. Anyone will be invited to call in and read. We'll be actively sponsors for our summer poetry contest at that point, so think about that. Info on that will come out in a little bit. Basically, the way our contest works is that everyone who enters gets a prize in addition to the winners winning all the cash money for entering. And the way that we get lots of prizes is we get people like you to donate their poetry books and services and subscriptions and other items of specific interest to poets and writers to create a really big roster of prizes that we get to send out to all of our contest entrants. So there you go. That's coming up soon. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a good rest of your day, and visit us online at poetrysuperhighway.com, and have a lovely rest of National Poetry Month. Bye.